On August 17, 2018, the Society of American Archivists Committee on Public Awareness presented A Finding Aid to My Soul, an evening of stories by archivists. Just in time for Halloween is this story from Terry Baxter, archivist for Multnomah County in Portland, Oregon.
All right. My name is Terry Baxter, and tonight we'll be talking about ghosts in the archives. So when I was a younger archivist, Barry Pateman, an archivist whose wisdom I've admired, said, "Archives are the way we speak to the dead." In 2009, a haiku I wrote for the essay's haiku contest read, "Speaking to the dead through a paper veil requires a necromancer." Necromancers purposefully contact the dead with some ideas of communication. What do you want? What can you tell us? What's it like? Archivists often do the same thing, but sometimes ghosts just appear, uncalled for, and missing out their intent and meaning can be difficult. So I became an archivist in the winter of 1985, and one of the very first jobs that I got was processing the records of the Supreme Court of Oregon. And so it was a fun job, down in the basement, working next to the hydropulper, which was right in the middle of the archives where we hydropulped all of the records that weren't permanent in the archives. And it was a simple job for a simple person. I was a student worker at the time, so it didn't require a lot of effort. So what I did was I removed staples, I removed enclosures, but I also had to remove all of the physical objects that were included with the Supreme Court records. And that included probably 36 guns, hundreds of bullets, vials of blood, drugs, whatever, you know, it was all there. And so, you know, I'm down in this space all by myself, 26 years old, first time in the archives, and, you know, it's creaky, noises are happening, all this stuff is going on, and I'm pulling these things out of the records, and it's kind of creepy to start with, but I'm just, you know, I'm making money. It's better money than I made working at Arby's, and so it was a reasonable thing to do. And then all of a sudden I had to pull out a set of pictures from one of the cases, and it was a young woman kind of looking like maybe a 50s or 60s movie star with a bullet hole in the middle of her forehead and blood draining down all sides of her face. And I just said to myself, wow, this is a little too much for me. And for weeks I had nightmares, and finally I told my boss, I said, I just can't do this anymore. And, you know, I can't work down in this space by myself with this stuff and look at this kind of thing. So my boss said, that's cool, we'll move on. So that was the first ghost I encountered, and it was scary for me, and I moved away from it. I didn't engage with this ghost. And so I moved on, and a little while later I got another assignment, still as a student worker, but this is working with the records for the Cayuse Five. So if you're not familiar with Oregon history or the Whitman Massacre, the Whitmans came to Wailapu, which is in southern Washington, northern Oregon, just across the Columbia River, and they came and set up a mission and worked to proselytize the local Cayuse Indians. And things didn't go well. A measles outbreak happened, and the Whitmans were blamed for it, and so the Cayuse attacked the mission and killed every adult there. And so, of course, a war ensued after that, and, you know, volunteers were brought together, and folks went and sought the Cayuse in war, and 200 Cayuse casualties, one American casualty, a drunk colonel, fell into the river and drowned. And so the war proceeded, and finally at some point the Cayuse said, we need to stop this war. And they sent five folks, I'm gonna give you their names, Telkite, Tomas, Kamatsupkin, Ishikaklis, and Klokamas, were all volunteered by the tribe to go and be tried for the attack on the Whitmans. And of course they were all hanged. I mean, the thing that struck me as a young archivist was I had the trial documents, so I could actually read them. I could read the comments that the Cayuse had said for themselves. And one of them is, much like your Savior Jesus Christ gave himself up for you, we're giving ourselves up for our people in order to stop the Cayuse War. And so they were hanged. and their ghosts are still restless. The excuse me. So the ghosts still wander because the local authorities have been very reticent about helping the Cayuse find where the graves are and help repatriate their folks back to reservation land. And so the ghosts wander, and the people in the tribe are still, you know, angsty about what's happening with this, with these particular ghosts. One thing I read recently is that they may have used some of Clackamas County archives to locate a peach grove where possibly within 3 or 4 acres these people are buried. And so possibility that they'll be found soon. So moving on from the Cayuse Five, about 7 years ago, I reference for us is usually just working on the telephone. And so I got a phone call, and the woman on the phone said, can you tell me if the medical examiner cut the head off my son when he performed the autopsy? And I was shocked. I had no quick answer for that. In fact, I had no answer a half an hour later from that, except a phone number to say this is the medical examiner's phone number. But her son had committed suicide by burning himself up on Mount Tabor, and she was really concerned about how the autopsy had been performed. You know, had the body had to be cut up? What did they have to do this autopsy? And I didn't have a good answer for her. But we talked for quite a while. She told me about her son. She told me why he was ill, what his mental state was, how he'd killed himself, what had happened, how she felt about this. And both of us spent 20 minutes talking back and forth, and it was, I think, a really emotional conversation. But I will tell you that I felt close to that ghost. I felt like we had more of a connection than I'd had with other folks that had passed through my purview. So anyway, I get to what we think about as archivists. I think we archivists are like coal seer. You know, we see dead people. We see them all the time. They're everywhere. Sometimes they don't even know they're dead. And sometimes, like coal, we call them forth to tell a necessary story, heal a wound. We're all going to die, and some of us sooner than later. The only way we'll live beyond those shells is in the stories or archives. And so hopefully we peacefully transition from necromancers to ghosts, waiting for future archivists to summon our stories.